Hello, it's Jack Dable. I'm here with FMB Radio. If you would just like to give us your name and the purpose of your organisation.
Hi, my name's Maxie Lee and my charity is called Support for Survivors, supporting male and female survivors aged 16 plus who have experienced childhood sexual abuse. It could be physical, it could be emotional, as well as incest and rape.
Okay, can you give us some examples of the work that you've done?
Some of the examples of the work that I've done, in what context?
In terms of how you've helped people, like the survivors, as they've come to you.
So individuals are referred into the charity. That could be a professional referral or a self-referral. From that, we make sure that the individual is in a safe space. And the reason we do that is because it's extremely hard for them to walk through that door. I know how it was for me. It was a nightmare. So we make everything comfortable for them, and we don't go straight into the reasons why they've come, because we know why they've come. Then we make another appointment, and from that other appointment, we do an assessment, which we have to do. And from that moment on, they are able to access their one-to-one support, which is a therapeutic counselling support. From there on, they're able to access our drop-ins. Like yesterday, we had a mixed drop-in, which goes down really well. And it's something that I've been trying to do for the past 5 years. But women find it very difficult to mix with men. But now my brother's on board. It's quite, it's been quite an easy experience merging them together. And it does work, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if they're male or female, they're still survivors and they've still gone through the emotional experiences. We deliver so many educational programmes, and it's the educational programme that moves them forward. Many have not been able to do very well in their early experiences as a young child at school, because they were trying to cope with the madness of all the abuse that was going on in the home. So we have created a survivor 12-step program, and from there we are able to find and see the ones who we feel could go on to peer support. So the reason for creating this charity was to give survivors opportunities. I'd identified that quite a lot of survivors are unemployed and they're in our mental health institutions. So I want to maximise their potential, and we're able to do that by identifying our talented survivors who access the educational programmes and are able to move forward into volunteering peer support with lived experience. So we get individuals back into part-time work, further education. Some go back into full-time work. It's quite overwhelming to see that individual walk through the door that lacks all confidence, self-esteem, and you know that, like, within a matter of 6 months, even though everybody's on a different path, we are going to be able to change their life in a huge way.
Excellent. So I assume I'm going to ask you now about that, the best parts and experiences, and I assume that seeing people develop themselves is involved in that. Is there anything else, or if you would like to elaborate on that?
Well, the fact that I set the charity up in 2014 and I did it all alone, and now I've got a body of volunteers that are actually running the charity is quite overwhelming. And yesterday was another one of those overwhelming experiences. And I think that when survivors, victims and survivors, see others moving forward, they want to move forward. So we create great change, not just for the victim and the survivor, but also for their families. So it's a rolling effect. You know, it's quite amazing. And we work with people with learning disabilities. One of our ladies, you wouldn't know that she's actually has learning disabilities. When we look back, you know, all she could do was cry, but now she's one of our campaigners. It's quite incredible to witness. They just bring a smile to my face. Every day is different, and every day is empowering.
Okay, so moving on from that, what are the greatest challenges that you've faced in your work?
The greatest challenges that I face in my work is always going to be funding. Always. Obviously, we've been going for 5 years now, and it's just always an issue, and especially with the inquiry that's just been, the report came out 2 weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, and we're still not being funded by the city, the county, and Nottinghamshire Police. They just keep giving it to all the IAP services, and they're not actually recognising the grassroots organisations within our communities. We get so many referrals from NHS, but we're just not getting anything back from them for each individual that they refer on. And it's just an everyday battle, and one that we're going to be raising tonight, actually, at our committee meeting.
Is there any kind of way that this can be addressed, and what kind of things have you been doing to try and secure that funding?
All we can do is to show best practice, and we collate a lot of evidence-based information. We're very lucky because we are able to show in-house data, statistics, etc., etc. And we also work very closely with Nottingham Trent University. So I have actually got the lottery coming to see me on Monday. So fingers crossed, I'm hoping that things will change. But we're just not going to get anything movement from the CCGs in Nottingham City. But that is an ongoing battle. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens on Monday with the lottery.
Yep, fingers crossed that you do get that. Moving on, you mentioned your brother earlier. What is the kind of who's who of your organisation? Who else is involved?
So I have my brother. He's a support worker, working very closely with our male survivors. It's quite incredible how he's actually moved the male survivors forward with the drop-ins. They actually go fishing now. There's quite a big group of them that go fishing. So we have to focus on the mental health and well-being of the survivor. Now, what I've identified is that a lot of male survivors are very, very isolated and lonely. They have no friendships. So we are able to create a safe space without them having to address anything, to form new friendships and relationships. And he does a lot of advocacy support work with them. We then have Tina. She does a lot of the administration. She's also my PA, and she does do some support work, but it's not her main focus. We have Marilyn, who's in her 60s. She's never had a certificate in her whole entire life until she came here for her support. She's got loads of certificates now. She supports our female survivors. She does a lot of advocacy support. And we have a couple of individuals now who are shadowing. There's myself, and we also have a board of 10 trustees.
Okay, so what else can you tell us about your work or organisation?
I've realised that with all the active campaigning that I'd been doing and the awards that I've been winning for the work that I've been doing on a national basis and local basis, has put my name out there. So I now sit on the board of the National Catholic Church Safeguarding Commission for the Catholic Church, Roman Catholic Church, and the Anglican Church. And it is run by a board of professionals and survivors who make decisions and recommendations for the churches to safeguard victims and survivors coming forward. So it's quite an honour to be on both boards. It's took me to as far as working with the Vatican in the Vatican City. I never realised for one moment that the work that I do would take me as far as that. And the work is actually on a global basis. So I've met individuals from all over the world. It's been an amazing experience, but also has a positive reflection on the charity for the work that we deliver in the city and the county. I've also been involved with the National Inquiry into Childhood Sexual Abuse, which was set up by the government to look at miss failures within institutions on a national basis. There were 14 strands. Within the 14 strands, Nottingham City and the county were within one of the strands that was brought forward. There were 89 core participants, meaning there were 89 victims and survivors that have come forward to give evidence on their experiences within children's homes and institutions and foster care. I gave evidence on a professional level of the inquiry. It's the biggest strand of the inquiry in history, and it's the most horrific. It was a horrific experience for me. I was there for the duration, the whole 4 weeks, 2 weeks in Nottingham, 2 weeks in London, and it did have an effect on me, just listening to children's experiences within social care. I mean, it was just shocking and horrific. So the report came out 2-3 weeks ago, and the inquiry, which was led by Professor Jay, has set out her recommendations, and they are giving both councils 6 months to implement good practices, put them into place, otherwise they're going to be held accountable. So I've been quite involved in three huge chunks of what's going on for victims and survivors, and it's something that I've been very active about many years before the Jimmy Savile inquiry came about. And it's through activists that we were able to bring this inquiry to the forefront. So I'm really happy to have been a part of the whole process.
So there's some great insight into kind of some of the legal and social issues that are in your work. Are there any more that you'd like to speak about?
I need to make everybody aware that you do still have time to come forward with the Truth Project to share your experience within any type of social setting that you're involved with in a child. That may have been in a school, scouts, guides, any groups that you belong to as a child. Were you in childcare? Were you in foster care? So there is still time for you to come forward. But I need to express. We've not had very many come forward from our Black and Asian communities. We really desperately need our Black and Asian communities to come forward, and my brother's been very involved with this area, as well as hidden amongst our military services. He's clearly identified there is a need for support that is affecting our communities with homelessness, drugs and alcohol, etc. So we really do want to raise a campaign within those two areas.
Okay, so on that topic, I'm now being joined by David. If you'd like to quickly introduce yourself and say what you want to say.
Hi, I'm David Robinson. I work with the charity as a support worker. Since coming on board, we found that the Truth Project didn't identify the Black and Asian and ethnic minorities who had been historically sexually abused. So we formed our own mini board. In the hope that people from the black ethnic and Asian minorities come forward, because like myself, I didn't speak up, didn't come forward because of being scared of being ostracized from the family. Ethnic minority groups tend to keep things behind closed doors, so people don't come out in public. We're trying to raise that awareness. We hope to have a conference pretty soon to highlight it and highlight the issues and to try and get people to come forward and not to be scared. You know, why should we hide what has happened to us in the past? We shouldn't have to worry about other people. They should worry about themselves. We need to be heard. And it's called Breaking the Silence UK Partnerships. Also, through Nottingham Trent University, we did some work with them and we was astounded by the amount of ex-servicemen who joined the army because of some form of abuse in the 60s and 70s. Personally, in my platoon alone, out of 52, there was 5 people who had suffered some form of abuse, be it sexual or domestic violence or domestic abuse in the homes. And the findings have proved there's more people coming forward, more people out there who are scared to come forward. Hence, you've got veterans who are turning to drink, drugs, and are becoming homelessness. And the homelessness is rising because of these certain issues.
Okay, thanks very much for that. If someone was looking to either make a referral or get into contact with your organisation, how should they go about doing that?
They should just contact Support for Survivors. We have got a webpage. And just give us a call. The receptionist will make the referrals and they'll be handed down to the people in charge at Support for Survivors. 0115 962 2722 is the telephone number if they wish to make the telephone call, and everything is confidential.
Okay, thanks very much for talking to us today.
Thank you.